Hey Vikings fans, welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, and we're going to get right to it because we have one of the best guests we've had yet on the short-lived Wobcast, and that is NFL Network analyst and Vikings preseason TV analyst Mike Mayock, who is one of the best draft expert in the world, and he's kind enough to join us on the Wobcast. So we're not even, I usually have like this 2-minute intro where I sound off on a topic and then we get into the guests, and then I have like a 2-minute outro where I sound off on another topic. We're not even going to do that, Mike. We're going to get right into it here with you.
I'm ready. I love this whole Wobcast thing. That's really clever.
Yeah, thank you. I mean,
did you think that up all by yourself?
It was a production. I can't take all the credit.
Okay.
All the credit
like
in the world.
Okay.
I won't take all of it. I'll be humble about it, but okay. I'm happy that everyone around here works with me on it. Jordan Strzok and Mike Kiris and Alan and Jordan, all these guys are good to me, and you know,
I like it.
It's good.
Let's go. Let's
we like
do
talking.
This thing.
All right, Mike's in a hurry, so we're gonna hurry up. Well, we're actually midway through the combine right now. What are your general thoughts? I mean, every draft class has some sort of identity, and a lot of times we don't know it till we get closer to the draft. But what is the 2012 draft class's identity?
We haven't seen the defensive tackles yet, and to me, part of what this class is going to be is about these guys. And I've got anywhere from 5 to 7 potential first-round defensive tackles, which is atypical. Usually in a year, you might hear 3 first-round grades. So twice as many potential first-round picks, depth throughout the entire defensive tackle class, regardless of position. I thought it was pretty interesting today watching the wide receivers run, because my theory is fast guys run fast, slow guys run slow. I don't care that much when fast guys run fast.
Okay.
However, today some fast guys ran slow and some supposed slow guys ran fast. And now that forces you to go back to the tape and start to figure some things out. Now, I mean, Michael Floyd from Notre Dame, boy, he ran really well. 4.47, caught the football. He's going to be a mid-first round guy, in my opinion, for sure. Mohamed Sanu from Rutgers, a bunch of people were hoping he was going to be like a 4.45 guy. He went 4.65. You know, that's not a real fast time for that kid. The Reuben Randall kid from LSU, up in there in the 4.55, 4.6 range, he was another potential first-round pick. And then the kid from Georgia Tech, Stephen Hill.
Yeah,
now,
he flew.
Thankfully, a bunch of my scouting buddies around the country kind of clued me in last week that, hey, Mike, this guy might blow the top off the combine. And he did. Mm-hmm. He ran 4.36. He's 6'4", 215, by the way. And he jumped 41 inches. He jumped 11-1. Everything he did, and even more importantly, the on-field wide receiver drills, he caught the ball cleanly. He looked good. He looked crisp. So out of nowhere, this kid's kind of pushed himself into the mindset of all 32 teams. And why? The difficulty is, kind of like Demaryius Thomas a couple years ago,
yeah,
coming out of that Georgia Tech offense, he only had 28 catches.
Yeah.
But he averaged 29 yards a catch because it's an option. And all he's running are verticals and jump balls. So it's hard to figure this kid out. So I don't know if he's going to be a first-round pick, a third-round pick. I don't know where he is yet, but every team in the league is going to have to try to figure him out.
Well, and Calvin Johnson, a guy who comes from that, yep, that, you know, that school too, and you could knock them and say they don't catch a lot of passes. They play in that tricky, like you said, the option offense. But those two examples right there, Demaryius and Calvin, who come out of there and play well. Hill might have made himself some money today.
Well, here's the deal is you can check off all the measurables. You know, he's a height, weight, speed guy.
Yeah.
Teams like height, weight, speed guys. You can develop them. Now, the problem is he's raw as can be because he hasn't had to run routes. Mm-hmm. He's had to stalk block corners for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what they demand in that offense. So it's going to be interesting to watch teams work this kid out, go into Georgia Tech, spend some time with him, and figure how high is his ceiling. How high can we go, and how long before we get a return on our investment?
Okay. And I'm glad we're talking about wide receivers, because the Vikings need a vertical field stretching wide receiver that they can put on the outside. Everyone's going to look at the free agent market because there's such a thick market there. But a lot of the people that we talked to this week at the Combine, the national reporters, are saying that there's going to be a lot of franchise tags out there, and so this market might not be as good as you think it's going to be. Justin Blackmon is at the top of this class. My belief is that the Vikings are going to end up with Khalil. So they're going to have to go to the middle rounds, I believe, to address their wide receiver position. Is that an okay spot to be in this year, using the middle rounds to get wide receivers, Nick Toon or Marvin Jones or some of these guys we saw at the Senior Bowl? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, and it's interesting because Alshon Jeffrey, for instance, from South Carolina, didn't run today, and not because of injury, his own choice. That
you
disappointed
that.
Me.
Yeah, you hate that.
Why wouldn't you want to compete? Are you kidding me? I don't get that. When if you're not the first pick or two in the draft, you better be working out. So. Yeah. He's a 6'3", 215-pound kid that didn't work out. I think he could slide into the second or third round pretty easily, okay? And then you start talking about guys like Chris Givens from Wake Forest, who ran very well today, caught the football fast, a vertical outside threat. Keep your eye on him a little bit.
Okay.
I don't think he's as physical as I'd like to see, but he's a vertical, take the roof off kind of guy. Mohamed Sanu, maybe not fitting what you want because he didn't run very well. 115 catches this year. Everything was contested, but boy, does he catch the football extremely well. And Brian Quick, small school guy from Appalachian State, at the Senior Bowl, and the Vikings were a staff at the Senior Bowl.
Right.
And I'm a huge believer that if you get that opportunity, you take advantage of it. So the Vikings are going to have an advantage in this draft because they know the Senior Bowl kids on both teams.
Yeah.
And the Quick kid at 6'4 and change, and the way he ran today. And at the Senior Bowl, I thought he was a little bit overwhelmed the first day. And each day he got a little better. And I think part of it was trying to process and assimilate a different playbook, because you can't play fast until you're comfortable in your own mind. And he played fast the rest of the week. He ran fast today. He's the kind of guy in the second or third round that is going to be a really interesting player.
It's all, man, it's all rounding into shape here for the Vikings. We have 65 juniors who are in this draft, and we coach the Senior Bowl, so we can focus on all those juniors here. You mentioned being at the Senior Bowl being such a great experience. You mentioned defensive tackles, a big, deep class, and that's a need for us that we're not going to be able to address early. This could be an all right year for the Vikings. Now, specifically on the Senior Bowl, how do you think that changes Rick Spielman and our scouts' perspective, knowing that we were at the Senior Bowl for a week with those kids, and now we come here? What is there a different approach that the Vikings should take?
Well, I don't think it's a different approach, but I think what it is that you've got some inside knowledge of the work habits and the ability to process a playbook that other teams don't have. So when you go back from the Senior Bowl, you're ahead of every other team.
Yeah.
And a lot of those teams aren't going to catch up because you don't get the practical application of being in a meeting room, being on a practice field. There is so much to be said, and every coach that I've ever talked to that has coached in the Senior Bowl, when they close the doors in a meeting room, there's nobody else in there. There aren't any owners, there aren't any media. You find out pretty quickly which kids are eager, interested, and can learn and process, and then take it out on the field the next day and play fast.
Yeah.
And that advantage, Wobby, is phenomenal. So they're going to have a depth of knowledge of about 80 or 90 kids that the only other team in the league has is the Washington Redskins, because they coach the other team.
Matt Khalil, left tackle. I mean, everyone expecting it to go Luck and RG3 1-2. That leaves Matt Khalil on the board for the Vikings when they're up. They need a left tackle. Mm-hmm. It just seems like such a good fit.
It would be hard to argue your logic there.
Yeah.
And I've watched a bunch of his tape, and even though he bench pressed 225 30 times, which was impressive, the only thing I don't like right now, two things really, is number one, his core strength, not his upper body bench press, his core strength, like a lot of long, lean, young offensive tackles. He's not real strong core-wise, and he's going to have to get stronger. And number two, he gets a little lazy in his pass protection and lets people get to him on the inside. And that's not really ability. It's just he's so much better than most of the people he plays against that occasionally he falls asleep.
Yep.
But bottom line to me, he's a top 10, top 5 type tackle, and I would imagine – with Christian Ponder as your quarterback, it'd be really difficult to pass on a young left tackle.
NFL Network analyst Mike Mayock is our guest on the Wobcast today. Hard to believe, but Andrew Luck might have actually impressed some people today.
Well, I just told a bunch of people in a press conference, it didn't surprise me because I've watched the kid work out at the Manning Passing Academy the last two summers. But he's 6'4", 230 plus, okay? His numbers today from a, quote, measurable athletic perspective, because he didn't throw the ball, are very comparable to Cam Newton a year ago. So we were all gushing about Cam Newton. What a great athlete. Why aren't we gushing about this kid?
Yeah.
The kid's 6'4", 230. He run 4.67, 40. He jumped higher than Cam Newton on the vert. They were about the same or an inch different on the broad jump. This is a sneaky athletic kid who's going to be a high-level quarterback. And, you know, Robert Griffin is a world-class track star. So anybody who's surprised that he was going to run fast and jump high shouldn't have been.
Right. I'm going to go to the secondary now, and I want to ask you about a guy named Mark Barron. He's a safety from Alabama. And with the cornerback situation being the way it is this year in this draft, Morris Claiborne, Dre Kirkpatrick, Janoris Jenkins, among some of the three, four best, the Vikings aren't going to be able to get their hands on them because we pick at third, then we don't pick again until 35. But that's where I want to bring Mark Barron in, because safety is another need for us. Any chance Mark Barron is there at 35, or if we're ultra interested in him, do you think we're going to have to move ahead a little bit?
I really think that safety and corner are big needs for you guys.
Yeah.
And I've been a Winfield fan for years, but he's getting older. There have been some injuries with Cedric Griffin and in the secondary. The safety position has been undermanned, I believe, since I've done the preseason games, and you lost the safety down to New Orleans.
Yep.
So. Yeah. From my perspective, what you're looking for at some point is to get the best defensive back you can find, mm-hmm. whether it's at 35 or the third round or whatever. So
yep.
Mark Barron, in my opinion, will not be there at 35.
Okay.
Now, Harrison Smith from Notre Dame is a better safety than people think.
Okay.
And what Harrison Smith does is he's a better athlete than people think, and I think we're going to find that out on Tuesday. He's a 215-pound safety. He can play strong and free. He's more athletic than people give him credit for. He will line everybody up because he's one of the smarter kids out there, and he's an excellent tackler. So I think he's going in the second round.
Okay.
So if you're talking about a second round safety, there's a big drop off at the safety position after Harrison Smith. They're the two best safeties. Okay.
Awesome.
Now, if you don't think he's worth 35, then you got to look at the corners and say, okay, who's there at 35? Trumaine Johnson from Montana might be there at 35. If you can get past his, quote, off-the-field issues, and they're not all that bad, he's a 6'2" corner with safety skills. How does that sound?
Pretty good.
So, and I think he's got better movement skills than Malcolm Jenkins coming out of Ohio State, who's now the starting free safety.
Good player.
Yeah. And a real good player. Yeah. So you take a 6'2" kid that's physical, can play press man, can play off. And I like the fact that if you don't like him that much at corner, and I think you will, by the way, but if you don't, you can kick him inside the safety because I think he's smart enough and tough enough. So a kid like that at 35, he's interesting to me. I like him. Stephen Gilmore from South Carolina, another corner, underclassman, very gifted kid that can press, can play off. There's some other guys out there. So if you're talking about, I mean, the way I'm looking at your secondary is – I want to be ready to move in that second or third round area.
Right.
And I want to know that when we get on the board, whether it's a corner or a safety, let's go get the best one.
Yeah.
And if we have to move up and get them, that's fine. But because you got, what, 9 or 10 picks this year?
We have 10 picks if we get those two compensatories.
Yep. So to me, it's a real area of need. And it's not just we have to have a safety or we have to have a corner. Let's go get a couple of them.
Yeah.
But let's prioritize in that second or third round, just the best one available. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it.
All right, Mike Mayock is our guest on the Wobcast. We're literally on the front step of the NFL Network set. You guys do a great job with your coverage. We have a blast.
I
mean, yeah, and you guys, and it looks like you have a fun time. How many combines is this for you covering it for NFL Network?
Well, I forget. When we came here, it was probably 6 years ago or so, and the first combine we did, Paul Burmeister and I sat in director chairs down there on the 50-yard line,
yeah.
and we didn't have a set, and we didn't even have a place to put our papers,
yeah.
and he and I just stood there and talked football for like 6 hours.
Right.
And now it's blown up to the point where we probably have 40, 50, 60 announcers here. I have no idea what we have.
Yeah.
And we got NFL.com. We got a side set down there. We got Hall of Fame players all over talking about. We got Kurt Warner was great today.
Yeah,
it was fun talking quarterback play with him because he gets it.
Yep.
And it was fun listening to him talk about those two top quarterbacks and everybody else throwing. Tomorrow we get Warren Sapp, who's crazy, so it'll be interesting to see where he goes with all these tackles.
Yeah.
We're having a blast, Wob.
And I mean, and you guys do such a great job with the coverage, and I mean, just watching today, the graphics that you're able
yep.
to use and compare players. I mean, when Andrew Luck was running what he was running in the 40, you guys threw up a comparison with Cam Newton using a graphic. I'm sure that helps you guys in talking about things. And for you, when you get done, like right now, we're done with the on-field workouts
yep.
for the day.
Yep.
So what is a night at the combine like for you? What are you doing after the show?
I cannot wait for a beer
yeah.
and a steak.
Okay.
And the
I
best
think you can
part,
find that here.
I can.
Yeah.
And the best part of the combine to me is not on the field. The best part of the combine to me is what I've done the last few nights, which is I've met with a bunch of coaches
mm-hmm.
and general managers and scouts, And over a beer or two, we'll sit there and we'll compare notes on the players. We'll compare notes on where the direction of the league.
Yeah.
Last night I sat with an offensive line coach, and we talked about different drills he's doing with his team, just because I need to learn more about pass protection. And so
yeah.
I just sit there and try to learn, because these guys, if people think you're a true football fan and a true passion for the game, these coaches are phenomenal and they'll open up to you. So the answer to your question is a couple beers and a lot of football.
The best in the business trying to learn things every night at the Combine. That's why you're the best, Mike. But another thing you get to do this year at the Combine is hang out with your daughter, Lee, who's on our staff at the Vikings. Very instrumental in getting you on today's Wobcast. And that has to be a lot of fun for you to hang out with Lee.
It's a little bizarre to be walking around here with your daughter. And she has shown up at a couple of these dinners, you know, and I'm sitting there in my element with all these buddies of mine and having a cocktail, and here comes your daughter. It's pretty cool, actually.
Well,
so
she
I'm
gets
very
it.
Proud of her.
Well, first of all, she gets it and she loves football, but second of all, there's steak and beers. I mean, who wouldn't be interested in that?
She is a Mayock.
Right. Very good. All right, we're going to let you go because you're busy, but thank you so much for joining us, Mike. That was awesome.
Anytime,
and
Bobby.
Good luck the rest of the Combine. I think we're going to find some good players for the Vikings, don't you?
Hey, you got 10 picks, and I believe in Rick Spielman. I believe in Leslie. I believe in your entire organization. So the answer from me is an affirmative yes.
All right, good news. All right, Vikings fans, a quick Wobcast, but it was Mike Mayock, NFL Network analyst, Vikings preseason TV analyst, joining us. Very grateful for that. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll see you next week for the Wobcast.